there. Thanks for listening to the Elevate Christian Church podcast. We exist as a church to connect people with God and each other. Today's message comes to us from our lead minister and preacher, Kevin Barton. We hope this inspires you, grows you, and challenges you in your faith and your walk with Jesus. Enjoy!
My name is Kevin, and I'm the preacher here. I'd like to welcome you to our Super Bowl service. First things first, is this thing on? No. There we go. Let's try that again. Good morning, Elevate. Welcome to our service. My name's Kevin. I am the preacher here. And I want to just say something to you right out of the gate. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday has become kind of an unofficial holiday where you don't really have to hang out with those family members that you don't care for. You can have your friends over. There's food, there's football, there's fellowship. There's a big push to make the Monday after Super Bowl an official holiday. I'm all in, man. I'm all in for that. Not just all in at Elevate, I'm all in for that holiday. The NFL, I don't know if you know this or not, they're expecting tonight, just in America, 200 million people to watch the Super Bowl this evening. Now, I think Taylor Swift and her crew have a lot to do with that. There's a lot of Swifties kind of moving in on our game a little bit, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. So I want to do something that we do unofficially kind of every year on Super Bowl Sunday. It's just kind of a straw poll, if you will. And hold your applause for a second. Tonight's game features the San Francisco 49ers against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, your beloved Falcons are not in the Super Bowl, and my Dallas Cowboys certainly aren't in the Super Bowl. I don't think they'll ever make it again, to a Super Bowl. But we're all going to pick a team to root for, I think. And you may have to wait for the game to develop, but I think some of you know now. So just sheer volume and applause here. Let's kind of see who Elevate's favoring. How many of you are going to be rooting for the San Francisco 49ers? Okay. All right. How many of you are going to be rooting? I know how this is going to go already. For the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay. All right. All right. One more question. For those of you who don't care about football, how many of you are going to watch the Super Bowl simply because you're going to watch for the commercials? Okay. Yeah. Commercials have become synonymous with the Super Bowl. More money is forked out on Super Bowl Sunday than the rest of the year combined when it comes to advertising for certain companies. This year alone, to buy a 30-second slot commercial for the Super Bowl is going to cost a company $7.7 million for 30 seconds. Now, advertisers fork over that money, right? Because it's worth it to get 200 million eyes on their products. And so let me give you a case in point. If you remember last year, the average commercial cost about only 7 million for 30 seconds. So Dunkin' Donuts bought a spot for $7 million. They then paid an actor by the name of Ben Affleck $10 million to do this 30-second commercial. Well, here's what's interesting. The next day, last year, the Monday after the Super Bowl, more donuts were sold at Dunkin' Donuts than any other day in their entire history. And that's including like National Donut Day, for those of you who follow that on Facebook. So it is worth it because there's a lot of eyes on the Super Bowl, and the companies that buy these advertisements don't mind paying, high dollar. And so today, let me tell you what we're going to do. I feel like I need to give you a disclaimer, especially if you're visiting with us this morning, because it's going to be a little different. Today, we're going to have a little bit of fun. Now, I realize, a lot of people don't think you should have fun at church. And if you don't think you should have fun at church, you're going to hate heaven. That's all I can say. It is okay to laugh and to cheer and to have fun. Like certain Sundays, You know, you leave here with the weight of Scripture on you. Certain Sundays, you may be brought to tears by what Jesus did for you, and all of that stuff is very heavy. I think it's okay to have a good time. And so we're going to try to have a good time. If you weren't here pre-service, we had a little competition between a Gen Xer and a Gen Zer. They were trying to throw little footballs into a cornhole, and I thought the Gen Zer would win for sure, but Chris Towns, one of our deacons, participated, and I say this with love, Chris, that old man can spin it. He won by a whopping score of 1-0, so congratulations. I just want to speak to this just a little bit more in case you're antsy about this. Say it one more time. It's okay to have fun at church. I realize there are people that go to church that look like they consume a diet of nothing but the sours, dill pickles you see, and right, and like if someone laughs or someone smiles, they're like, you're in the house of the Lord, right? So we are going to have fun. We just came out of a very weighty, kind of cumbersome series called All In, where we were really pushing into you being all in with the Lord. And next week, we're going to start another very intense sermon called Core. But today, I want to take a little trip down memory lane. And what we want to do today is I want to look at some of the most iconic Super Bowl commercials of all time. And then with each commercial, we're going to draw out a little spiritual lesson from each. And so what I'm going to do is we're going to go through this kind of chronologically. So we'll start with the old classics and kind of work our way up to modern day. And one more disclaimer before we get started. We all know that the funniest and the best commercials that air on Super Bowl Sunday are the beer commercials, right? But by far, those are the funniest, those are the best. We are not going to include the beer commercials in this series because, well, we're in church, and more importantly, I don't want to have a full inbox tomorrow and spend all day like putting out fires. So with that in mind, we've got seven of them here, and we're going to look at some of these iconic Super Bowl commercials. The first one we're going to look at is from 1980, and in the Super Bowl that year, I was 9 years old, was the Pittsburgh Steelers playing against the Los Angeles Rams. Yes, for all you Yinzers out there from Pittsburgh. The Steelers beat the Rams 31-19. The most valuable player in that game was a quarterback that you may have heard of. His name was Terry Bradshaw, all right? And I think that was the last Super Bowl he ever won. That was his fourth. If you were alive, which I realize many of you weren't, in 1980, did you know you could go down to the store and you could buy a can of Coke for a quarter? 25 cents for a can of Coke. I was looking at prices of 2-liter Cokes in the store the other day, and they're like almost $3. It's crazy. It was Coca-Cola in 1980 that brought us one of the most iconic Super Bowl commercials of all time. I want you to take a look at this.
Mr. Green?
Yeah.
You need any help?
Mm-mm.
I just want you to know, I think you're the best ever.
Yeah, sure.
Want my Coke? It's okay, you can have it.
No.
Really, you can have it.
Okay.
Coke and a smile makes me feel good.
How about that high def quality of those commercials in the 80s? If you could even see that. So I just want to just draw a little spiritual lesson from this commercial. I think we can learn from this commercial that kindness matters. Kindness kills. And as God's people, we are instructed over and over and over again to be kind. To be kind to those that are in the world, and also to be kind to one another in the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says this: be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God and Christ forgave you. And I think the subject of kindness is coming at the most appropriate time because we're not in 1980 anymore. We're in 2024. And those of you who know or live here, unless you live under a rock, know that 2024 is going to bring in an election. All right, we are going to elect a new president, and people get very, very, very unkind during this time of year. And I think it's our Christian duty to spread a little kindness, right? And so you'll hear things like, I don't like you, you're undesirable, you're implorable, or you're a libertard, or, right? You know, we go back and forth, and this is on Facebook with two Christians talking to each other. I don't think there's any room in the kingdom of God for that kind of chatter and that kind of behavior. We're instructed to be kind to each other. Look what Galatians 6:9 says. And let us grow weary, or let us not grow weary, of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. You know, in that commercial, that kid just killed Mean Joe Green with kindness, right? He couldn't say no. He had to drink the Coke, and then at the end, he throws him the jersey. I like to think on the other side of that tunnel, when that kid left, as soon as he got out of that tunnel, that jersey was put on, right? He clothed himself with Mean Joe Green's jersey in the commercial. We put on God, Scripture says. We literally clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ, and it shows up by the way we treat people. Colossians 3:12, put on then, and in the Greek that's like putting on a garment, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. So from a Super Bowl commercial from 1980, we can learn to be kind to one another. The second commercial I want to show you is from Super Bowl 18. Super Bowl 18 was played in 1984. It was the then Los Angeles Raiders who defeated the Washington Redskins 38-9. If you don't know, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. And so the Washington Redskins, we feel about Washington the way you Falcons fans feel about New Orleans. And so I was a big Raiders fan that game. And the most valuable player was a man by the name of Marcus Allen. He was the running back. Did you know, in 1984, you could go to McDonald's and you could buy a Big Mac for $1.35? They don't cost that much now. They cost a lot more than that now. $1.35, and you could go to Burger King. I don't have a picture of a Whopper because they're not good. But you could buy a Whopper for $1.39. Well, it was in 1984 that another fast food chain attempted to dethrone McDonald's, to dethrone Burger King by making this classic commercial right here.
It certainly is a big bun.
It's a very big bun.
Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
Some hamburger places give you a lot less beef on a lot of bun.
Where's the beef?
At Wendy's, we serve a hamburger we modestly call a single. And Wendy's single has more beef than the Whopper or Big Mac. At Wendy's, you get more beef and less bun.
Hey, where's the beef?
I don't think there's anybody back there.
You want something better. You're Wendy's kind of people.
I love that lady. I wish she was one of our greeters. It'd be awesome. You know, this 30-second ad played during the Super Bowl by Wendy's turned Wendy's into a cultural spotlight. But it also generated $292 million in sales in 1984. Because when people buy a hamburger, they want more meat and they want less bun, right? It's why it's called a hamburger, not a bun burger. And I know what some of you are thinking about this particular sermon. Where's the beef? Like, we want more. We want more substance to this. I think the lesson that we can learn in this commercial is that we need to crave the Word of God. We need to get on to the meat of the Word. At some point, we've got to move from just an elementary surface relationship with God into a deep, meaningful relationship with God. And the only way to do that is to devour the meat of the Word. Listen to what Paul writes to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. And he's not talking to preachers here, by the way, so I want to make that clear. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, like he's saying, like you've been in this walk with the Lord for a pretty long time, and you should be able to teach and rebuke and train. You again, for the basic principles of the orals of God, you need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. You know, I often imagine God kind of peering into my life or maybe your life, and he says, well, let's talk about your Bible reading. Let's talk about how much you read the Word, not just at church, but during the week. He might say, where's the beef? You know, why aren't you feasting on the Word? Or let's talk about the amount of time of heartfelt prayer. Where's the substance? Where's the beef? Or the fruit of the Spirit that we're supposed to walk in? Where's the beef? When I was the youth minister here at Elevate, we were called East Paulding Christian Church back in the day. We had a pretty substantial youth group, and we had a Wednesday night service. Back in those days, you had to have like a catchy name, or it wasn't really a youth group. And so I decided to name it East to West, because scripture says, as far as the East is from the West, he has removed our transgressions. And so, you know, we had a kind of a rocking youth group and a Wednesday night full worship service. And I got into this t-shirt phase where we were making different t-shirts. And the favorite t-shirt that I ever made had that scripture from Hebrews that I just read to you on the back. And on the front, it just had like in rainbow, just different color fonts and coloring. It said, I'm finally on solid foods. And it is God's desire for all of us to get off of the milk and get into the meat of the Word of God. All right, the third commercial that we want to look at happened during Super Bowl 33. Though this is a painful one for some of you, not as painful as 2017. But in 1999, Super Bowl 33 pitted the Denver Broncos against our Atlanta Falcons, and unfortunately, the Broncos won 34-19. The MVP of that game was a quarterback by the name of John Elway. He was the oldest player to become an MVP at the age of 39, and that record wasn't broken until 2017 when, coincidentally against Atlanta, when Tom Brady became MVP at 39. And I know that's a sore spot, that Super Bowl. I'm not even a Falcons fan, but I was watching that, and I was going, just run the ball. Just run the clock out, and you've got a Super Bowl. I cannot bear to see Tom Brady win again. All right, let's go back to Super Bowl 33. In 1999, the median wage, the average wage for a person, this is crazy to think of, was $29,000 a year. You know, that's kind of where it all leveled out. So a company called Monster.com burst onto the scene, encouraging people that they could do better in their life. And so let's take a look at this commercial here.
When I grow up, on a file all day.
I want to claw my way up to middle management.
Be replaced on a whim.
I want to have a brown nose.
I want to be a yes man.
Yes woman.
Yes sir. Coming sir.
Anything for a raise sir.
When I grow up,
I want to be underappreciated.
Be paid less for doing the same job.
I want sunshine blown up my dress.
This commercial struck a chord with a lot of people. Particularly, think about when you were younger in your life, and you talked about what you wanted to do and what you wanted to be when you grew up, and then something crazy happens. Time goes by in an instant, as James says, life is a mist. And there are several people that sit in our churches all across America who are like, this is not what I envisioned for my life. I hadn't planned on working where I'm working. I hadn't planned on this addiction or this divorce, and my life seems to be in shambles. And I think the lesson here is that it's never too late. That you, with God on your side, you can do anything. And so I don't often recommend books, but I am an avid reader. And so in your life, if your dreams were shattered, or your life hasn't turned out the way you thought, or you feel like God hasn't shown up in the way you wanted him to show up, I want to recommend a book. It's been in print for several years. It's called Plan B by Pete Wilson. It is a great, great read to encourage you that, you know, maybe you aren't where you thought you'd be when you were a child, but it's never too late. All right, number four. Super Bowl 37. This was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who defeated the Oakland Raiders 48-21. John Gruden was the coach, and he became the youngest coach at the age of 39 to win a Super Bowl. Now, that record has since been broken by Sean McVay a few years ago. He was 36. So we gave a gift card out earlier, and I have another gift card available to anybody, because this is a tough one, who knows who won the MVP for that Super Bowl, if you know his name. I'll give you 5 seconds. All right, looks like I'm going to get a new book. The MVP was a defensive player by the name of Dexter Jackson, who had a remarkable game. In 2003, you could buy a pair of running shoes, kind of athletic running shoes, for around $40. All right, that's only 21 years ago, $40. Today, you might be able to get a pair of flip-flops for $40, but I don't know. If you get Crocs, they ain't going to work, right? $40 for a pair of running shoes. And there was a war going on between Adidas and Nike, and New Balance, and another company swept in called Reebok with a very famous commercial called Terry Tate. Take a look at this commercial.
When we asked Reebok to send us Terry Tate, some people thought we were crazy. But I'm a firm believer in paradigm breaking, outside the box thinking.
Hey, buddy.
Break was over 15 minutes ago, Mitch!
And since Terry's been with us, our productivity has gone up 46%. We're getting more from our employees than ever before.
You know you need a cover sheet on your TPS reports, Richard! That ain't new, baby!
Hey, Terry.
Hey, Janice!
But what's really impressed me is how Terry's become part of the Felcher family. He fits right in here.
That's a low distance call, Doug!
To be honest, I wish Reebok sent us 10 Terry Tates.
You wanna play game, Sheen? Well, when it's game time, it's pay time, baby! Woo!
You know, in that commercial, you never knew where Terry Tate might be. So you better be doing the right thing, right? You better be ready. I think the lesson that we can draw from that, as we remember, we're just having fun today, is that the Bible tells us that we need to be alert. We need to be on guard, because the devil uses Terry Tate tactics. He tries to ambush us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober-minded and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." So let me just say this in passing, because I looked at this scripture in a new light this week. I've read this pretty much my whole adult life, and something popped out to me. People often downright misquote this scripture, and I have been guilty of quoting this scripture. Peter, who was one of Jesus' apostles, he's the one that penned this letter. It does not say the devil is a roaring lion. It says the devil is like a roaring lion. I want you to just take note that Peter didn't say that. He's the evil one that prowls around, but he's not a lion. He's like a lion. Now, contrast this with what the Bible says about Jesus in Revelation chapter 5. He says, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." You see, the only lion in Scripture is Jesus, the great Lion of Judah. Whatever Jesus is, you can be sure that the evil one will try to pretend to be that. But he's not a lion, he's a snake, he's a serpent. Did you know that Terry Tate is not a real football player in that commercial? He's just an actor that pretends to be a football player. And the devil is just a serpent who pretends to be a lion. Jesus, the great Lion of Judah, will one day destroy him. So be alert, be sober-minded. All right, number five. This happened in Super Bowl 44, 2010, where the New Orleans Saints defeated the Indianapolis Colts. And the MVP of that Super Bowl was Drew Brees. That year on CBS, there were 106.5 million viewers, and so that's 14 years ago, and they're expecting upwards of 200 million viewers. You can see how the Super Bowl grows each and every year. Did you know that in 2010, that was only 14 years ago, you could go down to your local convenience store and you could buy a Snickers candy bar for 70 cents, all right? I looked it up online today, and the cheapest Snickers candy bar I could find was sold at Walmart for about $1.32. So that's almost doubled in price in 14 years. Well, Snickers had, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, the greatest Super Bowl commercial of all time. I want you to take a look at this.
Mike, come on!
Mike, what is your deal, man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby!
Whoa. Use Snickers. Better?
That hurt.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
Oh, Betty White. May she rest in peace. May she rest in peace. I love the tagline in that. You're not yourself when you're hungry. And I think there's some spiritual implication to that, right? I think it's true. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." I love to eat. You can ask anyone of my friends or my family. I just have a 6'5" frame to hold it all on, but I do not eat very, very healthy, and I eat in large quantities. I feel like I was born hungry, and I may die hungry. But I want you to think about hunger and thirst for a minute. Hunger and thirst are necessities for life, aren't they? Because you can't live without food, and you can't live without water. And it's often been said, right? You are what you eat. And while that's true 100% physically, I think it's also true spiritually. Just like we have a physical taste, we have a spiritual taste. And we're invited by the psalmist in Psalm 34 to sample God, to taste what God is and what he's all about and what he's like. Psalm 34, 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. You know, Jesus has been called a lot of things. He called himself a lot of things, like the bread of life. He's called himself living water. We know that he and he alone is the only thing that can satisfy the spiritual longing in our hearts. Remember what Jesus told the woman at the well in John chapter 4? Whoever drinks this water, they will never thirst again. And I want you to think about this. Hunger and thirst are signs of life, and they're evidence of health. So God gives us a desire for food and a desire to be filled. I don't know a lot about being dead, but here's what I do know. Dead people are not hungry. They're not hungry, are they? And if you've ever watched a sick person or someone you love start to wither away and dying, you know, they stop drinking, they stop eating. A sick person loses their appetite. And I think a lot of times we're hungry in this world because we're filling ourselves with the wrong stuff. We're filling ourselves with the stuff that the world has to offer. And that's why Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. All right, number six. This happened in 2018 at Super Bowl 15, where the Philadelphia Eagles defeated the New England Patriots 41-33. This is the only time in my entire life that I've ever rooted for the Philadelphia Eagles because I'm sorry, Greg, I am not a Tom Brady fan. Just because he wins all the time, like, let someone else in. So to see him defeated was, like, awesome for me. The MVP was a great story that year because it was a backup quarterback who came in late in the season because their quarterback got hurt, and he led them through the playoffs and won the Super Bowl. He was a young man by the name of Nick Foles. So that was 2018. Now, 2018 brought a crazy phenomenon, and let me preface it with this. The generation that's older, that comes before the generation behind them, has a tendency to always criticize the younger generation, right? And I find myself doing that. Oh, these Gen Zers, or, you know, right? We say these things, and, you know, I really have to fight against that because as a pastor, you want to attract people to the gospel, not repulse them from the gospel with being kind in your words. But 2018 brought a phenomenon that I just can't take up for the younger generation for this. It was called the Tide Pod craze, okay, where people were eating toxic Tide Pods, and recording it, right? They were getting sick. I think some people died over this, and then there was a lot of people suing Tide, and if I would have been like Tide, I'd be like, well, you're supposed to wash your clothes with it. You're not supposed to eat it, and it brought this crazy phenomenon. Well, Tide did a commercial, but they stayed away from Tide Pods, but they did this great commercial I want you to see here.
Yeah, just your typical Super Bowl car ad, right?
Or a hilarious beer ad.
Or whatever ad this is.
Whatever.
But it's a Tide ad.
What?
It's a Tide ad.
What makes it a Tide ad?
There are no stains. Look at those clean clothes. What else would this be an ad for?
Diamonds?
A gift that lasts for a
long time.
It's time for a cold refresh.
No. Tide ad.
Fall into the sleep of
you. No. Tide.
No.
Tide ad. Extreme.
No. Tide.
Tide!
Meet the all-new.
No, it's a Tide ad. Tide.
So, does this make every Super Bowl ad a Tide ad?
I think it does. Watch and see.
Hello again, ladies. Is your man the kind of man who would climb the height... I'm in a Tide ad.
Nice pants.
Get off my horse.
Tide ad.
Beautiful. Like a Tide ad.
Sarah? Sarah?
It's a Tide ad.
I love the premise behind that. I don't know if you missed it, but the whole thing was it's a Tide ad because there's no stains. I think this, the lesson that we learn from this is the most obvious. When we have Jesus, we have no stains left by sin. He purifies us whiter than snow. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, God says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become wool." So I have a visual here, and I'm doing my best to not move around because I move around too much, and I really sometimes it's hard for the camera person to keep up with me, and the people watching online are like, "I'm getting seasick." I want you to imagine this is you, all right? This is just you, and you're like me. You're an imperfect person. At some point in your life, you sin, all right? And so we're just going to do this. Put a couple drops in here, and you know you probably can't see it that well. Maybe you can, but I'll stir it up. What happens is when sin gets in us, it begins to contaminate us, right? It just begins to stain us. We become stained by sin. The whole gospel is this. This is Jesus here, and it's about surrender, right? To be made clean, to be made white as snow, involves surrendering. It involves pouring ourselves into Jesus. So we take our mess, we take our sin to the altar, to the throne room of God, and we pour it into Jesus. I hope this works. And eventually, Jesus takes away our sin, and then he fills us with all the fullness of God. And so what was crimson and what was sin and what has stained our soul has now been eradicated, because when you have Jesus, there are no stains. All right, number 7. This is our last one. We're just about out of time here. This was Super Bowl 55, and this was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom Brady, who defeated the Kansas City Chiefs 31-9. Now, if you remember history, this was we were going through COVID. And so because of COVID protocol, there were only 25,000 people allowed in the stands, and they put cardboard cutouts. It was the lowest attended Super Bowl in history because of COVID. Now, I have to say this because we're talking about Kansas City. There was somebody missing from that game who you will see a million times tonight, right? Her name is Taylor Swift, right? She's dating some guy on the Chiefs. This is going to go really poorly, but how does Taylor Swift dry her umbrella? She shakes it off. She shakes it off. Okay, all right. Whoa. All right. One more. Why don't vampires bite Taylor Swift? Because she's got bad blood. All right. Now, in regards to Taylor Swift, I think a lot of people who are football purists feel like this guy here on the next slide. All right. I'm guilty of that a little bit. I just want to watch the game. I don't care about, because they're going to break up, and she's going to write a song about Travis Kelce next year, and it's going to be over. So anyway, the MVP of Super Bowl 55 was a pretty recognizable name in football. His name was Tom Brady. He won his final and his 7th Super Bowl. My favorite commercial from that year, you know, we've been looking at some funny ones, was one that was actually just a tearjerker. Let's take a look at it real quick right now.
Mrs. Long?
Yes?
We've found a baby girl for your adoption, but there are some things you need to know. She's in Siberia, and she was born with a rare condition. Her legs will need to be amputated. I know this is difficult to hear. Her life, it won't be easy.
easy, but it'll be amazing. I can't wait to meet her.
We believe there is hope and strength in all of us. Toyota, proud partner of Team USA.
Boy, that'll get you, won't it? I remember watching that. It came on later in the Super Bowl, and our MO is we'll watch the first half, and then we go on to bed, and we'll watch the second half in bed. And so I was laying there, and I started crying, which I'm not a crier. And she's like, "Are you crying because of that commercial?" And I'm like, "No, I'm crying because Tom Brady's about to win another Super Bowl." But actually, that commercial brought tears to my eye, and I don't know if you saw the beginning, but it's actually the story of Jessica Long, who was in Siberia and was adopted by an American family, and at 18 months old, both of her lower legs were amputated. She went on, since that commercial, to become a 16-time gold medalist in the Paralympics, and the lesson... I can go a lot of different ways with this, but the lesson from that commercial for me is simply this, and I'm going to talk about me for a second. I was broken by sin at one point in my life. I mean, me becoming a preacher was laughable. I was literally crippled by my sin. But God, in his great love, sent Jesus to die on my behalf. And because of that, I'm now adopted by God. He is my father. Romans chapter 8 says this. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. And because I now have Jesus in me, I can do anything. Because you now have Jesus in you, you can do anything. Your opportunities are unlimited. Remember what Paul the Apostle wrote in a dungeon, in a prison, right before he was going to die? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So, I almost drank that bleach water. As we went through the decades, here's what I want you to notice. I'm closing this out. The teams have changed. The winners and the losers have changed. The players have all changed. The coaches have changed. The scores have changed. The commercials have changed, the products, the advertisements, society, culture has changed. But friends, Jesus Christ has stayed the same. He's been consistent. Paul says to the Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let me just prove a point, and then I'll get out of here. For those of you who fancy yourselves as football aficionados, all right, you think you're pretty versed in this. And I'm doing this because I want to show you what really matters in this world. Like tonight, there are going to be some people, and I love these, there's some people in our church that are from Kansas City. They're going to be in it, all right? And it's going to mean a lot to them. But this time next year, 20 years from now, it's not really going to matter, right? And so just in case you think you know a lot about football, let me ask you a couple questions. Who was the MVP in Super Bowl V? Anybody? Yeah. It was a man by the name of Chuck Howley. He was the only MVP to win it on a losing team when the Baltimore Colts defeated the Dallas Cowboys. But he still won the MVP. All right, let me ask you another one. Who was the winning coach in Super Bowl XII? Mm-hmm. Coach by the name of Tom Landry. I think coached the Dallas Cowboys. See, Cowboys were never in it, so I got to get him in this sermon somehow. All right, two more. Who did the halftime show at Super Bowl 35? Yeah, see, we don't know. A little band called Aerosmith, and they partnered up with another band called NSYNC, which was really What? But it was really pretty cool. All right, one more. Who won Super Bowl VII? Anybody know? Yeah. The Miami Dolphins. Now, we should know that because it's the only team that's ever gone undefeated and won a Super Bowl. But we didn't know, did we? You see, it's okay to have fun. It's okay to watch the Super Bowl. It's okay to be with family and friends and have a good time. But the only thing in this world that really matters is this. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He sat on his throne long before there was ever a Super Bowl. And friends, he will sit on his throne long after, forever after, to be exact. Now, you may not know much about football or Taylor Swift or the Super Bowl, but my question for you this morning is, do you know Jesus? Because when you encounter Jesus as a sinner, you come to him stained, but then he removes your stains.
We hope you enjoyed listening to our podcast today. If you'd like to learn more about Elevate or partner with us in what God is doing here, check out our website at elevatecc.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks again.